So, Vincent, with Mama Anderson's show at David's Werner, we have an increase in scale, not just in that the individual paintings... Well, actually, we have an increase in both size and scale, in that within the more traditionally sized canvases in the gallery further to the west, we have a scale of perspective and of the size of objects which contrasts with the more crowded scenes that we might be familiar with in earlier work of Mama Anderson. And then we have this extraordinary blow up of some of the imagery in this in these gargantuan murals. What impact is scale having in these shows?
Well, I have to admit that this exhibition kind of baffled me. I don't think I really got it. I went to it with a lot of anticipation because I'm kind of a fan of her work. But I feel like she's maybe in a transitional moment, or she's, you know, going in a different direction. And scale, to answer your question specifically, it's interesting. I took some photographs of the exhibition too, and looking at this video just now, I mean, some of it looks more effective to me in the photographs than when I was actually there in person. And what I liked in her previous work was the sense of scale that was in the paintings, like a lot of interiors, right? Those rooms that she's famous for. And here I felt like she was intentionally going for a really two-dimensional effect, and I'm sure there's a reason that she's doing that, but to me it felt a little flatter. And I tried to look, you know, more deeply into the painting, and that was actually quite beautiful if I took the time to look even just at a background, how she painted a black area. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't as captivated by the imagery, I guess I have to say, as in her earlier work.
Yeah. Martha, I don't know where my feelings are towards this shift, but there is most certainly, as Vincent's describing it, a shift. I mean, in a typical, although her work has, her career has seen many changes, but in what one might, what I think of as a typical Mama Anderson, you have almost a sort of bleeding between interior and landscape. You have sort of landscape spilling out of cozy Swedish interiors and an interior and a sort of domesticizing of big vistas. And here, as Vincent aptly describes it, we have a kind of it almost feels like a certain periods of Picabia or circus signs of the 19th century that one gets a very different focus. Do you feel that this has grown out of her work, or is this some sort of strange departure?
I agree. I think it's transitional. I think your video caught it really well, the fact that when you walk into Zwerner now, you're practically in a museum, you know, and people were kind of cozying up to the Merlin James paintings, whereas this is sort of, you know, so you walk in that space and you think, well, this better be good, you know, I mean, and it just kind of fell a little short. To answer your question, I think you hit it right on the head with the Picabia. And some of those kind of Balthus-y, almost a little John Curran-y. It's trying to be a little weirder than she is, and a kind of quasi-surrealism that didn't really work for me. I just wasn't particularly crazy about this show. The one thing I really liked a lot is the fact that most of them are painted on plywood. And then, you know, they say panel. It's kind of got a fancy sound to it, but For me, the kind of frisson, if there is one, is between that she's a very good painter, and so it's on this, you know, sort of crappy surface, and so it really kind of invites you to examine the object a little bit more. And that was frankly my kind of favorite part about it, because there were a couple of the ones that were a little bit more not so self-consciously provocative, but I just sort of felt like, oh, you know, I'm not really following you on this kind of like peep show kind of thing. So,
all right.
Yeah, not a huge fan of the show.
Okay, okay. Well, we can debate that because I'm sort of beginning to feel that perhaps I am. Chris, what do you make of it? This shift in focus.
Well, this is the first time I've ever seen her work, so I had no expectation.
So a fresh eye, excellent.
It was completely fresh. According to the video, I only saw paintings in one room, which was the large, dark room with the big wall painting. I didn't know if it was a painting or a vinyl. I didn't spend much time there. It was dramatic lighting, very theatrical. I was turned off by it immediately. I didn't think there was enough work there. I think conceptually speaking, to use one of my favorite terms, in terms of the extra formal content of the work, there was very little that I could grab a hold of in that particular room. But looking at the video and looking just at the image that they put on the press release, the painting ceremony from 2014, I do get a read of some material that is not so much concerned with craft or good painting. I didn't think the paintings were particularly good, and I didn't think her draftsmanship could hold up to the spare visual image content in the paintings. And so there was a depressive feeling, but mild anxiety about that much real estate being committed to such thin work. That said, I think that the painting I just mentioned, Ceremony, with the two women performing, there is a kind of feminist anxiety, potential conversation about women addressing women with power and with caution. There's a choreographic element that could be explored in her work. I got the sense, to cut it short, that she's probably less interested in painting and drawing and more interested in other art forms, which it'd be interesting to see her engage, particularly performance, video, and theater.
Yeah, that's what struck me as particularly odd about the explosion of size in the what I think of as the secondary room. I mean, I felt that the main gallery of paintings is a new chapter in the way she deals with the figure, and I think an upping of the ante in the distinction she makes in her work between say, living, breathing figures and objects which are figural in some way. The mama that we all love is, or not all of us, but the mama that might be more loved than this new mother, this new mama, sorry, Freudian slip, is one where of a kind of more, say, psychologically kind of complex, but at the same time sort of dainty paint application, the kind of frothy feeling. Whereas here there's a toughness.
But don't you think this is a kind of psychological thing you've seen so many times before that you're kind of like, oh, you know, like the big figure, that big cutout figure. Did you like that?
In the second room. No, I couldn't. I didn't like the big. The big didn't make sense. No, that seemed to me a prop for some sort of. It's as if the Swedish Royal Opera has commissioned her to do Peer Gynt or something, and that's sort of some shipped in scenery. It didn't. That threw me. It just didn't make any sense. Whereas, I found the slightly tougher surfaces of the paintings on plywood, they had a kind of gravitas that I was gravitating towards, but I think that the the old mama was sort of very easy to love, and but then difficult to actually work out what she was doing in it. You just sort of went along with the flow, perhaps.
Well, the subject matter was more open too, wasn't it? I mean, it seemed to me more like spaces that, you know, almost chosen at random, or something that somebody would see by chance. And as you said, yes, you know, with this interior, exterior, tension. But
yeah,
whereas this new work is very much calculated, and that's not necessarily bad, but I mean, it's like, it's a project. It's definitely all of a piece.
And more deliberated and more more demonstrative in a way. Yes, exactly.
That right. You so felt that gives you, it, yeah. I mean, that's something that I think is going to come up on, in other discussions tonight, is like, is the role of narrative in work, you know, whatever the narrative may be.
Mm-hmm.
And if that, for me, if that kind of overpowers the qualities, of whatever they are, sensuous qualities, or the qualities of texture and construction and materials and how something mm-hmm. is made, then I find it less interesting. And that's what was happening to me.
Uh-huh.
Although I saw this exhibition twice, I have to say. And the yes. first time, I really, you know, felt like, oh, I'm just not getting this. The second time, I looked at it much harder. And then that's when I, you know, she's is obviously very talented, so you see that coming through, and I feel like her architecture is very impressive, and how she can construct like this one that's a pile of magazines and books. Mm. I mean, it's yes. just, that's really beautiful. And I think there's not many artists who can do something like that.
Yeah, I was rather taken aback by Chris feeling that they're not invested as painting, or it seemed the draftsmanship within them was quite stunning, especially the ceremony painting that Chris cited. But Martha, where do you stand on the actual technique? Do you think she's...
I think she's a great painter, but better close up than far away. You know, it's that kind of situation where you walk in and you're like, oh, brother, you know, I mean...
That has something to do with the installation, I felt. Like,
yeah.
We've all been kind of saying in different ways, you know, this is so grand. I mean, maybe if each of those paintings had been in its own little space, it might have been more effective.
Yeah, and...
Or the other way around, if they were all cramped together a little bit more and more of a coziness.
And, I mean, the thing is, you know, if you spend a lot of time going to galleries, too, you know, you're like, this is the gallery of, you know, and you have this other catalog in your head. So I'm kind of thinking of, like, Marcel Zama and things like that. And they're just kind of, like, trying to be a mega gallery but still be, like, kind of weird, you know. It's not... It's just like, you know, you got to pick one or the other, guys, because, you know, you can't be the, like, fringe weird gallery and then also, you know, be a sort of, like, baby MoMA, you know. So for me, that is part of a little bit of the problem, is that they're trying to kind of put this out there as, you know, my favorite word, transgressive, and it just is not working for me. But... As I said, when, you know, I thought I had some pictures. I didn't actually take pictures of that show. But some of these other kind of quieter paintings where you could just sort of sit there and you're like, wow, she really, you know, just the application. Yeah, she's just great. So, you know, sometimes it's that problem of, you know, a subject kind of like a little bit of a problem of a fit. Just what you identified in the beginning, that she's sort of... in transition and from my perspective, making a little bit of a misstep. And I don't know, this as a feminist painting, that's always, of course, a little bit touchy for me too, because I'm like, oh, do I want to, you know, do I have to get on board with this feminism? This just doesn't feel like feminism to me, but you know.
Because in part, because, well, actually the ceremony is one of the few paintings. Just to remind you, it's one woman in sort of black yoga pants and another in a kind of more of a sort of corset type. But even that's actually the most contemporary looking image in the show. And the sartorially, it's perhaps as recent as the 80s, but it could be any time. Actually, in the 20th century, the figure on the right, at least, it has a sort of visitation-like structure to it, of you know, the New Testament story. But But most of the imagery seems to be very is historical. It's 19th century. It's Rococo through early modernism, early modernity. I mean to say. And so it seems to be therefore telling some sort of story and tapping nostalgia. And I wonder what the story is and what the nostalgia is about, or is it just one talks about the space having resonances from the rest of the catalogue, as it were. You know, it's hard to be in that space and not have Zama and Rausch and Toymans and et al. In the mind, and it begins to have a sense of history lessons being very important to the Zwerner Gallery stable. Did it come across as being Chris, did you make of the historicity of these images?
I sort of felt it a little bit. Like I said, I only saw one room, and it was the large room. It was really, really dark. You walked in, and I want to say directly but to the back, there was the big painting called Hangman, which was a human figure, but you couldn't tell if it was a man or woman. It was kind of ambiguous. And then to the
sort of 18th century costume.
Yeah, almost like a kind of a circus, kind of like a trampoline artist. That was kind of feel I got. It was like a kind of circus, kind of feel 19th century circus. And then to the left, there was a painting with a woman with like the bonnet on it, with her on her head, a black bonnet. And with that painting, I kind of thought of Cather, Old Pioneers, just kind of popped in my head when I saw it. So there was a kind of brief moment where, through looking, I kind of thought about the late 19th century, which is, you know, very complicated for me to address in terms of what that imagery means now and what kind of nostalgia can be attributed to it. But ultimately what I felt, you know, I should also qualify my statement about her skills as a painter. Again, I looked at those paintings in an essentially black room. I mean, and it wasn't like the Crystalfili black room. It was a dramatically dimly lit room. And I came up to a couple of paintings, but the content was not I wasn't drawn to it enough to pay much attention to what was happening with the painting, and the painting wasn't breaking through that kind of fourth wall of expectation that would make me look at the painting much closer. And this is more a general comment. You know, there's good painting, and there's technically good painting and technically bad painting, but I think the enjoyment of painting has something to do with both what's there, what you bring to it as a viewer, the potential expectations that you as an artist or painter might have as a result of producing a work, a specific work or specific type of work, and I just, you know, just because of all of the ambient interference, the scale of the room, the lighting, the spareness of the image content, all of that stuff was really off-putting for me because I did not sense that there was going to be a payoff for me to spend any time in that room.
All right, right, yeah. That's fair enough. I do feel, I should say that, you know, I feel that the room you did see was the corollary room and that the more substantial room was...
It was the project room.
It was the project room.
But it was enormous. Right?
It's enormous, yeah.
The uber project room.
It's all enormous. Right?
It's a
can I just say
turbine hall of the Zwerner Gallery.
Yeah. Yes. Can I just say about the nostalgia, that's the perfect word for it. But the thing is that nostalgia sets up a sort of expectation, and that is what somebody like John Curran, whatever you feel about him, he does it in my opinion, exceptionally well. The person who I absolutely love, who these reminded me of, who's mining a similar era, particularly the 30s stuff, is Nicole Eisenman, you know? And so you go and you see that work. I mean, again, we're just sitting here with this image in front of us, so I'm just like ruminating on this particular one. But it doesn't mean that you have to know about that imagery specifically to experience it in the present. Whereas this, it was sort of like, it's not quite working. Maybe there's some Swedish thing I don't know about, you know, like, you know, women's lib in Sweden, you know, or something. So I don't know. I just, what can you say? The other thing is, you know, in my mind, she always crosses over a little with the Leipzig painters too. And so they always have, you know, this, the kind of like sort of, you know, wacky juxtapositions of, you know, history with some kind of like, you know, whatever Prussian soldier flying in from the background or something like that. There's a lot of that. I mean, it's funny. It is, you know, they are really trying to become the surrealist gallery, I guess. So I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, we are reviewing Anderson, not Zwirner. So, but I mean, it is fair, however, there to.
That was when, I guess, the second time I went to see it. Kiki Smith was also there, and I saw her pondering them very closely, and then I saw a connection. I was sort of seeing it through her eyes for a minute, and I could see that she was kind of fascinated both by, like, how did she do that? How did she make that lacquer desk look exactly like a lacquer desk? But also, I think the imagery and the subject matter, maybe it made it more interesting to me to just to see it through her eyes and her fascinations with, you know, colonial life in the United States. And this was whatever period this was, I'm not sure, that Mama Anderson's working with, but it's equally remote, apparently, from the present day. Which, to me, on the face of it, you know, a priori would make it less interesting. I was like, well, why are you painting something about that time instead of about the present? But then seeing it differently, I could see how, for other people, that could be really fascinating.
Well, there's a mythological aspect, I think, to what she's to her project, and that it is it's pastness is not it's her past. Neo Rausch's and Luke Toymann's pastness is political, and whereas I think that Zama and Mama Anderson and Joachim Nordstrom's pastness is more sort of mythopoeic. It's a kind of fairy tale pastness. And what also struck me is that I saw one of my first proper look at both Merlin James and Mama Anderson was en route to the Outsider Art Fair. And in fact, I was taking students around and I was saying, here we have two consummate insider artists, and yet let's ask questions about how they plastically construct space and how they deal with imagery and what the sort of psychological incentives are of both these artists en route to, from these insider artists to looking at supposedly, I mean, a dubious category anyway, outsider art. And what struck me with Anderson's focus on individual pieces of furniture and busts and bustiers and ceramic sculptures and things that populate these images with a stronger but a more solid and a more frontal kind of ground compared to her diffuse landscape passworks, is that actually I felt them to be channeling de Chirico quite a lot. I felt that that they really have a kind of pittura metaphysica quality about some intense sort of meaning and at the same time dislocation inhabiting individual objects depicted.